I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the f*** he wants.
Hej, hej, hej! Damer och herrar, välkomna till ett rykande färskt, nytt, internationellt avsnitt av Käftsmällspodden. Mitt namn är CM Andersson, and with me today I have...
Reza from Frame MMA. How are you doing, man?
Representing, as always.
But I'm not in the limelight today. Today, in the limelight, it is what some people are calling the knockout killer from Kinshasa.
Ooh.
The Don from Doncaster.
Ooh.
Tell him who we got, man. Tell him who we got.
Mark Jacasey! And Daryl. Man, we got Daryl here as well. The boxing coach extraordinaire.
Yes, thank you.
Ingen too.
How we doing, boys?
We're good, we're good.
Very good.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us on the show.
Yeah, and so close to your fight as well, man. I mean, looking forward to that one. First of all, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling great, yeah. You know, this is obviously, it's a great podcast, and I thought, you know, I'll make time for these guys. You know, it's Sweden's always welcome, so I thought, yeah, I'll make time for them. But I'm very close to my fight, and it's happening next week, so I'm cutting weight. But, you know, I made time for you guys.
Yeah. Thank you so much, man. Thank you so much. So you're almost like packing your bags already. You're almost heading out. It's very close.
You know what, to be honest, yeah, I've been packing my bags, but I keep like resetting it again. Like I'll pack it and I need something and I'll open and mess it all up again. So I haven't packed it yet, but obviously Daryl doesn't realize it. He's there ready for me. You know what I mean? Once I start getting more hungry, you have to do it for me.
Yeah, I've been eating everything inside for you, Honor.
Yeah.
That's so, what a good coach does, right? Yeah.
So as we're recording this on a Tuesday, and you're fighting next Saturday in Vegas.
Yeah.
So when we're like 1.5 weeks out, what is your day looking like? Because I know it's miserable, but yeah, like we're not eating that much, and how are we training, and how are we eating?
Yeah, this time it's been pretty good because obviously I'm living close to the gym. So the hotel's around the corner. I can go down, eat whatever. So eat my meals while I eat and go to the gym. But most of the time, I'm in bed, just chilling. Mm. You know, I don't want to do too much. I'm doing 2 sessions a day. So obviously in the morning, I'll train, go back upstairs, eat what I need to eat, and then go back to bed.
Mm. So, but right now, we're still training hard. Yep.
Yeah, but we're sort of coming down now a little bit. You know what I mean? It's still hard, but it's more technical. So this today is probably my last sparring probably will be. So never know. It depends how I feel. I might do another one before I go. But that today was most like my last sparring. Yeah.
Are you that kind of fighter where, like, the last sparring, like, that it means so much because you're so close to the fight that it gets in your head, like, if the last sparring was good or bad, or like, oh, I got hit. Oh, I should do one more sparring before the fight so, like, I don't get hit. And do you think like that?
I don't know. I think I've had so many fights, and I like to work on, like, especially working on my hands. Mm. I like to try things that we've been working on. As long as they're landing, it doesn't matter how I do. As long as they're landing, I know the fight's going to be different because I'm going to be prepared. In the gym, the guys that you're training, they're used to you. So things are different compared to the guy you're going to be fighting. And it's mentally as well when you're in there. So it's just as long as I'm getting these things right, like in my drills, we're good. We're good to go.
Oh, good. Reza, you got something for him?
Yeah, like I was looking through some notes about you, and I've seen that you have been training almost all around the world. You've been training at ATT. You've been training at the Four Corners MMA back in the UK, and now All Stars as well. How would you compare, like, the Swedish style of, you know, the grappling and sparring and the training compared to other places that you've been?
No, I've been everywhere. It just, you know, the reason I've been places like that is, like, to you're trying to get best training I can. But obviously, it's also issues that you happen. It happens, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not as easy as you think, you know. As a fighter, you start trying to be in one place when you're trying to learn something, and other coach is not happy with what you're trying to do. So it's always difficulties, and you or you were trying to get training, but you're not getting enough training. So, but Sweden's always, like I said, it's always been good to me. It's not really a place I'd say bad things about. Mm-hmm. The coaches, all stars, have always been good, always welcomed me. So, and that's why I came back, because in 2015, I was here before. I trained with them. It was a couple of issues, but we adjusted it, we worked on it, and I'm back again, because I just feel like they've always been good to me. And again, with the coaches, they sort of know my game, they know how I fight, and I'm always welcomed.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. And like you're saying about getting other training partners and things like that, I got to ask you, how's your COVID been? Because that's usually the hindrance for all of the fighters now about going to different MMA gyms and things like that. So how has this pandemic been for you?
Pandemic's been horrible to me. It's been very bad to me right now, you know. I've had a lot of pullouts, but regarding myself, obviously I'm a fighter, so I feel like it's been okay. Like, I've been allowed to come into certain countries, and I've not had COVID, so it's been a little bit good for me on that side. But fight-wise, I've struggled getting fights, fights getting cancelled. I've had maybe 5 fights that's not gone through, so this is like, I've been stalking the guy. The guy even said to me, stop stalking me. But I'm not stalking him because I'm thinking whatever what he's doing is more of it, because I'm thinking, please don't pull out. Mm-hmm. Let's make it happen. Mm-hmm. So I'm making sure that he's training, he's doing whatever, he's good, he's healthy, so we can fight.
So when was this fight first booked? Because you two were supposed to fight before, is that correct?
Yeah, he was supposed to fight, but he pulled out for whatever reason. I feel like he needed more time to prepare, but he didn't say nothing. He just pulled out, but didn't give me a reason why he pulled out. Mm-hmm. It just made me wait for extra months, which I wasn't really happy about. But you know, we're here now, and I'm ready to show what I've been working on.
So, what do we know about the opponent? I don't know that much about him. What's his name?
Rafael Alves.
Yeah,
Alves.
I think it's his second fight in UFC.
Second fight, yeah. No, his second fight, yeah, with me, yeah. But he's been on Contender Series. Mm-hmm. He fought there, and then his last fight lost in the UFC, and then obviously I'm next for him.
All that I've seen from other people is that he's a brawler, and he's Brazilian.
Mm. Yeah, I'll let Darryl speak on this, because obviously I've seen the same.
He's been
brawler.
Studying.
Yeah, I've been studying. Yeah. Yeah. Like you say, from my point of view of him, yeah, he's a brawler. He's a come-forward fighter. He attacks in straight lines. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Matt's got a very good ground game as well. I don't really know much about MMA, but mm-hmm. I've been learning a lot out here. Matt and watching Mark and seeing his ground game as well. And I'm very impressed with what I've been seeing with him in the gym. And so with this guy, we've been working on, I don't want to give away too much, but we've been working on a few things which we could counteract against Rafael in this fight. From my point, yeah, he's a very come-forward, explosive fighter. And he's kind of dangerous, but we've been working on a lot of things to counteract him. And Matt's camp's been going very well. So
yeah,
he's been really working hard in this camp. So I've been very impressed with him.
Yeah, and you're a boxing coach, but you've seen as well that his grappling has been improving while he's been here. I've seen a similarity of a lot of, should I say, African-born fighters, because you was born in the Congo, is
yes,
that correct?
Yeah.
That a lot of the African fighters are very much power grapplers. They kind of burst out of scenarios and things like that. And I've seen review that you are a very powerful person when it comes to the grappling side. Would you say that there is something in that, the similarities of Kamaru Usman, even one of your friends, Francis Ngannou, as well, that's such powerful grapplers?
No, you can also say that, but I believe, like, regardless, like, especially African fighters, I believe I'm one of the top guys. Like, you know, because I didn't start MMA in Africa. I've learned all here. So I believe, like, my ground game, to be honest, like, especially when I start MMA, I start with the ground, basically. Like, I went to a grappling gym. It wasn't a striking gym. Mm-hmm. It was more of like, when it comes to MMA training, it was like, I'll do grappling and we'll say full metal jacket. It means put everything on and we'll just smash each other. Literally, it wasn't like, oh, you know what I mean? It wasn't technical. We'll just go at it. But yeah, regarding my grappling, I feel I'm very technical. I just haven't shown grappling because obviously, you know, like, I just feel like, you know, I can strike, innit? Like, it's easier to punch somebody than to go on the ground because it's long. So, But when it comes to showing grappling now, especially because I'm here in Sweden, these guys know me for a long time. They always say to me, why? Because you used to wrestle. Why don't you use it? And coming here is a lot of Dagestanian now at the gym. And I'm starting to realize, like, I can actually wrestle. Why have I not been using much of it? So, and that's why I brought Daryl, because me and Daryl work in UK as a box, just boxing. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to bring him to Sweden. And while I'm doing my strike, my MMA here, and I want to, you know, make my stand-up, just keep it where it is, you know, make progress into it. And that's why I brought him in. And I feel it adds up something special to my game. And that's why we're here.
And I got to say as well, I've known Mark a long time. And I said to him, we've been talking in the hotel and saying that this gym in All-Stars, the All-Star gym in Sweden is probably the best place for him. Mm-hmm. I've seen him go to Four Corners, gyms in UK. And what I've seen over here, this is probably the best place for him.
Yeah,
and I had this conversation killers. With him in the hotel.
Killers.
The serious trainers, serious, that work hard, and they're very technical as well.
Yeah,
I was impressed with what I've been seeing.
So you were here in 2015 as well, but
what
would you say is the biggest difference? Because I don't remember the Dagestanis being at All-Stars in 2015. Now it's
it's crazy, it's crazy. Like I'm like looking at, because I knew everybody. I'm looking at these guys, but I think I'm new. I'm like, I've been here. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're like, who are you guys here? But then it's changed. It's gone like, you know, wrestling has gone like really, really into like hard work of wrestling. Like you can, you know what I mean? When you're there, if you can't wrestle, you're getting bullied.
Yeah.
And these lads are like, it's like competition. You know what I mean? They'll look at you like it's lions there. If you can't, you know what I mean? But looking at if you're the weakest one, come here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you're going to get it. So you got to be ready there. And that's what's changed.
And do you feel like, because you, like, you're a UFC fighter with a name, you got like highlights, and they may be, you know, 1-0, 3-0. Like, do they look at you like, hey?
Yeah, I definitely get
I'm
that.
I'm going to try myself,
I definitely get that. Only thing sometimes, like when I come to like, especially All-Stars, lads obviously were looking at me like, Mark, boy, like I'm not as fit. And they'll try it. But I'm like, no problem. I try to avoid them with them like, I'm trying to get my fitness up first before I go with them. But they'll keep calling me out. And when I know I'm ready, I'm like, yo, come, let's go. After a while, they'll start avoiding me.
Okay.
You know what I mean? After a while. But at the gym, I don't like to use egos. Even if they come like that, I like to like work on things. Or I'll let them like attack me what they've got and see what they've got. And then if they go too aggressive and I start putting my game on, and they're like, okay, he's good. You know what I mean? They calm down a little bit.
Yeah,
but I've had it everywhere, to be honest. Everywhere I go, I've had it everywhere. In America, I had it. What else have I trained? You know, I've trained. I've had it everywhere.
It seems like in a lot of gyms, there is, you know, a bit of the bully mentality when new people come in. But from what I've heard, you've gone against bullies your whole life, coming to the UK very young and been in scraps like that. So, you know, I guess you're used to it, right?
Nah, it doesn't bother me. Like, I'm a scrapper, you know. When it comes to things like that, like, I'm a very nice person, I'll smile, but when you're going to show me that like, you're the man, like, we're going to go. Do you know what I mean? And we're going to meet somewhere in the middle. You're going to realize, okay, he's not no bitch. And then we'll be friends after that. We're cool. And after that, you probably avoid me or you want to train with me. Is what it is.
Because there seems to be a problem in the UK, especially with the youths, shall I say. So would you say that, you know, a structure like MMA or a combat sport could help a lot of the youth that are getting into a lot of trouble in the UK?
100%.
I believe so.
I've been calling out for this because I'm involved in amateur boxing and obviously I have professionals as well in the UK, but I 100% believe boxing should go back into schools.
Yeah.
Because the kids don't have nothing to do after. They either go play on the computer or they're just getting influences from the wrong places.
And as well, because it's not only the shall I say the exercise part of it, it's also the discipline.
Yep, discipline.
So like
that's what they need.
And I guess a lot of the YouTube boxing is also helping with getting new faces into the gyms and stuff like that.
Yeah, like I always say as well, like I left them at 16, and obviously where I come from, Donny, if you ask, like I used to fight a lot in the streets. You know what I mean? And I always say like, I recommend even my son, like, you don't have to fight, but just do MMA, just to give you that discipline. Because when I left my uncle's house, I didn't have no discipline. And now I had no one to tell me off, like, oh, you can't go, why you can't do this? I could do what I want. Do you know what I mean? And if it wasn't for MMA, I'd probably be in prison or something, you know, we'd never know. But I just feel like MMA gave me discipline to understand things. I know my older is, who to respect, you know what I mean? So I really recommend it.
Yeah, definitely.
100%.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah. To learn how to show up on time and like see like consequences and learn how to, you know, like get really tired and like still fight. And also like for kids, like if you're super tired and you're training and competing, like you don't have the energy to run outside and do bad stuff. No, you just want to go home and eat and rest.
And you get humbled.
Yeah, it shows you where you're at.
Yeah, because you know a lot of people who haven't trained, they're like, well, just wait until I get really, really angry. Like, if I get angry, man, like, you can't touch me if I get angry. Like, okay, get angry and get on the mat and we'll see. Yeah. You know, exactly like you said.
I used to walk out of gym, literally. Sometimes I'd walk out of gym crying. Because I in the streets, I'm thinking the toughest person out there.
Yeah.
And I'll go there, get some old guy, just pins me down, punches me. You go kind of thinking, wow, what just happened there? But you can't get angry because you're like, I'm getting beat up, you know what I mean?
You have to get up and shake his hand off. This kind of thing.
Just accept it, innit?
Yeah. But so boxing was in schools in England before?
And I think it was years ago that, but and then I don't know why they stopped it, but I've been trying to get it back into schools in Leeds. Mm. So I've been trying to work on that behind the scenes, but I've been a massive supporter of that. I do believe that kids who are coming through the school systems, or if they don't have anything, I honestly believe, I know fighting and boxing and MMA is all fighting, but it's not just about fighting, it's about other things, about discipline, it's about even helping with your mental health.
Yeah,
there's a lot more to it than just fighting. It's boxing and MMA.
I was speaking recently, it was maybe a year ago now, about an MMA psychologist, and they're saying that it does help with a lot of kind of educational disorders and social disorders to help like train in some sort of combat sport. Doesn't have to be competing like you said, but it's just like getting in there and doing
exactly
it.
So if you can catch them early, it might save a life
for sure. For sure.
So I'm gonna do a bit of a fact check with you. Is it true that you moved from Kinshasa, is it true that you learned English from children's TV shows?
Yeah.
Yeah. I never know this. Tom and Jerry?
I forgot the name of it, but it's like, it used to be Big Cook, Little Cook, and they'd be like, this is A. Like, they would teach you numbers and stuff, letters, this is a chair. Yeah. And this is how I used to learn it, and trying to put sentences together.
It's a great way, I think.
Yeah.
Well, it's use what you have, you know?
Never told me this.
Yeah, I like.
I think you're still watching them programs now, aren't you, Mark?
No, I don't think it happens. I don't see no more. It should be CBBs or something like that. I used to watch,
Yeah, but it's a great way to see it. I heard it somewhere, and I was like, I need to find out if this is true.
Yeah, that's how it's crazy, but that's how I learned. Most of my English, that's how I learned it, because I couldn't speak zero English. Like, I remember one time at school, teacher said to me, do you understood in front of everybody at school, in front of the class? And I said, I should have said yeah, but I didn't get what she meant. I said no, so everybody laughed at her, innit? And I got done for that. And I'm like, what am I getting done? I didn't know what I got done for, but it was like I just didn't get what she meant.
Oh, but that's a great fact. I mean, big up children's TV.
So like a quick, I would like to get a quick rundown of your story, because you came to the UK, and how old were you?
I was 12.
You were 12?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and then did you get into trouble right away, like because of...
Yeah, I got into trouble more of like, you know, like I came when I was 12, and then I was my uncle, you know, and we didn't come from the richest family or whatever, and you know, or... We had food on the table, but we wasn't rich. We didn't have anything like that. You know what I mean? We live in a council state, and when you go to school sometimes, and kids are like, you know, kids compete, you know.
Yeah.
They see what you're wearing, like Umbro, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some shit T-shirt, and they're laughing at you.
Yeah.
I had all that, and the guy that they gave me to, like, you know, to show you around school. When you move to school, new school, and they give you some new person to show you around, and then. He's the guy. I'm like, he's supposed to like show me around. He tried to like to bully me in front of people, and so I went on a rampage and I was attacking everybody, and I didn't really last the school. I got kicked out because of that, you know. Because they were trying, because I couldn't speak English most of the time. I'd always get done for it because I don't know what I'd say if they came to ask me, and I'd get done for it. I just accept it.
Yeah.
And he put me into a lot of trouble.
Okay, and you found MMA, or MMA found you?
Yeah, so when I got kicked out of school, obviously, and I was getting, you know, so that happened from a school, and I left school, and the name sort of carries on after you leave school. Like, oh, that boy can fight. Yeah. And that got me into a lot of trouble outside as well. So I was, like, fighting a lot of guys, like, especially, like, I can't even say, like, travelers every weekend that just start on me for no reason, do you know what I mean? Mm. So I was getting into a lot of trouble because of that. And then I went to court, I could say, maybe, like, 7 times. And I was like, you know, this is not me. I knew myself, obviously. I'm like, my family's still back home. I can't be getting into trouble like this because I can't go to prison, you know what I mean? I can't afford to. And I just keep trying to keep out of trouble. So I went to a gym that I live right next to just to try MMA. I didn't know what I was getting into, but it was just a gym, you know. It was a grappling gym. And obviously, when you're there, the guys see your talent and they tell you you're good. And sometimes I feel like kids just need that. Somebody told them they're good. Mm. And because they kept saying that to me, and I kind of believed in me. And I kept going back. And when I go, they gave me like, okay, you can train for free. You can do this. Just give me opportunity. Mm. And that helped me out a lot.
Man. I've seen a lot of kids with similar stories. I work as a teacher,
yeah.
And sometimes I just want like the boxing gyms or like the MMA gyms to just pick them up,
yeah.
And just like give them a shot,
yeah.
Because it's also as you said, like you thought you were the man outside of the gym as
yeah.
well,
yeah.
Like that, no one can touch you outside, and you got a reputation yeah. and all of that.
The schools though need to promote that though as well, though.
Yeah,
yeah. The gym that you started at, is it still around or?
It's still around, yeah. Doncaster Martial Arts Center. It's it's in Doncaster. That's why I still go back as well. Yeah, I still see the guy. I still go like old stories. Like this kid used to be bad.
He's got the photo on the wall. And
yeah, yeah, yeah. Now I get used like as an example. Like he used to be bad. Look at him. But yeah, it's pretty good. You want to go back? You know, it shows me where I started, where I came from. You know, I never forget. I always try to like go there and give back. You know, if I can promote them, I always do because I'll never forget. You know, because. To be honest, I couldn't afford training, but Ben knew what I had, but like, you can train for free as long as you're cleaning your mats, and I'll go and do that, and it will let me train for free. You know what I mean? Because I didn't have the money to train.
Yeah, inspirational, man. Mm-hmm.
And you started taking amateur fights, or did you go, like, did you train and then go professional? I don't know how, like, the amateurs work back in the day.
We call it interclub. Like, you know, like, interclub, where it's like, is it like a gym? But just do a show, like a small show. No one's even there, just coaches watching.
Okay, so like regional kind
of
thing.
Yeah, yeah. I did like two of them, and they go like, he's good. Do you know what I mean? And I ended up taking an amateur fight after that, and that was history. Because like I remember I didn't have money to buy even equipment. So one time I had a bit of money, I bought equipment. Because I started working at this card shop, like a store. You know, like they sell Christmas cards.
Okay,
I was setting the stool up like before school. I'll get like £30. Mm-hmm. And I bought all my gear because I stopped going after a bit after I go because I was getting beat up every day. So I stopped going training. But one time I just got all the money, bought everything. I went back and that was it. And started getting fights. I had one fight and one after another and I went 9-0.
And then undefeated.
Undefeated, yeah. I had three British titles. And I thought I could do something with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how long was it until, did you go straight into Bama after your amateur career?
No, this show is still around as well, called Cage Still.
Mm-hmm.
I started off there, I think I went 4-0, but Bama was like the biggest show. So I used to like watch and think, wow, I wish I could be in there one day and watching all the fighters going through. I'm like, I wish, but I didn't really see myself like, cause I was a big show, like they won't want me. And I kept fighting. I went 4-0, and my manager, Carl Messing, and the manager gave me a contract with them, and that's where I went. Mm-hmm. But it was pretty good, Bama. Like, I started to get comfortable where, like, I was like, okay, I can do this.
Yeah, and you won their title in quick succession. Then is it two defenses, and then you went up to the UFC?
Yeah, with two defenses, and I went straight to UFC. But I always say, like, sometimes I wish I didn't go as early. The mistake I there was it's not a mistake, but I feel like even amateur, where I came from, done is very small. So it's like if you're a prospect, I didn't like it. I feel like I should be the only prospect. So if I hear any prospect, I'm calling them out. We're gonna fight.
you wanted to find your way to the top, kind of thing.
To the top. So when I go to Bama as well, I feel like they're trying to use me to build other prospects. Mm. So I felt like I wasn't fighting against the opponent, but I was fighting against the show as well. Like, all right, you want to use me, we'll see. So I'll fight against the show as well. And I thought like maybe 4-3 undefeated guys. K-Moose, Rick Silveraja, and the other guy, Jack McGann. They're always undefeated. And I was just, even undefeated, I'm just taking them on. Like, you, like, come, let's go. And because obviously they were performed, it went viral. I think I had 2 knockouts. I think it may be like, it had like, I think 4 million views or something like that. I can't remember. But after that, UFC obviously seen it, innit?
Yeah.
And they signed me. And that was it, yeah.
So before your UFC debut, you had 2 fights before that that ended before 60 seconds.
Yeah, yeah,
both,
yeah.
Both fights. Then made your UFC debut in Manchester at UFC 204.
Yeah.
At the age of 23 years old.
Yeah.
So I understand what you're saying about maybe climbing that mountain a bit too quick.
Yeah.
But, you know, 3 years since your pro debut being in the UFC in a main pay-per-view kind of thing in Manchester. How did that feel?
You know, when I got that phone call from UFC, I didn't even know how to react. I think I was driving. When I just said, guess what? It rang me, said, guess what? You signed to the UFC. I'm like, what? Because I was after my knockout with my last knockout on Bama, I always said maybe in a few years' time. Like, I was thinking 3 years, 4 years, I'd sign to. For some reason, I never, ever thought I wouldn't make it to UFC, but I always, like, it's crazy, like, how you believe in it. Like, I always knew I would make it, but, like, I didn't think it was yet. Mm. Like, I'm not ready, but I'll make it there. That was the goal, to get there. Then it came just sooner than I thought. And I was like, okay, and now I'm a UFC fighter. And you know what? I had tears in my car, you know, a drive. I was like, wow, I really made it to UFC. But then, after that, Manchester, I walked out. I was like, it felt emotional, like, wow. You know what I mean? It was like, because when I started as well, in Bama, like, the support wasn't there. It was very hard support. But and when you sign to UFC, everybody want to be your friend. My phone used to die without me even touching it. Just die, people texting me. Like, oh, this, you're great, you're that. Everybody. But it was a great feeling just to get that win as well, you know. Like, this is what I've been working for. I got it.
Was it like people that you haven't spoke to in years asking you people for money and stuff like
not,
that?
Not even money, just like, you know, like, now I've learned that it's like, it's crazy. People that have done you small favors, they try to remind you. Like, they try to remind what they did for you. Like, I remember I had one person, he sponsored me, right? Okay. He went to be a sponsor. And only has £400. He gave me 50. 50. And then when I signed to UFC, he started to say, like, I can't believe what £50 can do. What hell? I'm like, bro. You didn't even give me the full wage. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's what a sponsor is supposed to do. He's supposed to pay me. I'll put your name in my shows. And you didn't even pay me all of it. Now you're reminding me, like, how much you paid me. Like, you owe me money still. Yeah, it's crazy. Oh, yeah, man. You learn a lot. A lot of things changes when you sign. So I'm like, you gotta be ready for, you know what I mean? If you're gonna get the UFC fight, you gotta be ready for it. If you're not ready, you fall pretty quick.
Yeah, because I've heard a lot of fighters thinking, like, oh, you know, imagine the sound of Bruce Buffer announcing my name and things like that. You got that, you know, 3 years into your pro debut, like three years into your pro MMA journey. It's a bit crazy to think about it.
When it comes to that, like, you know, your Bruce was saying your name, that was never in my thoughts, like, oh, Buffer saying my name. It was just like thinking, wow. Now I can, like, help my family, you know what I mean? Now I can provide that. It was more of that. My dream was never to, like, oh, I made it to UFC or Bruce Buffer. It was just like, now I can, you know what I mean? I can afford to do things for my family, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was more of it, and the main thing.
And also, you have 2 young kids, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also show that, like, all of this work that I've been doing, like, training twice a day, like, not making much.
Uh-huh.
Look, like,
I had doubters, I remember, like, I used to work on railway, you know, on tracks.
Yeah.
And the guy said, one time I said to him, do you mind if I leave early? Like, he said to me, what do you want to do? Do you want to work or do you want to fight? I looked at him. I said, I'm quitting. You know what I mean? Because I'm like,
never look back.
Yeah, I've done all the work. Like, I've been nice to the guy, talking to me all nice and that. So I'm like, do you mind if I leave? You know what I mean? Because I'm like, I don't know the work you asked me to do. There's no other jobs to do. But it just makes me sit there for no reason. I said, listen, I've got a train, do you mind? And he gave me that question, and that really made me mad. And I just left. I walked out of the job. So all that was like, it really, like, it made sense now. Like, you know, I put my work in.
It's like, look at me now kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm. But what does a UFC contract for a young 23-year-old 3 years into his professional, how does the contract look? Because I feel like they can give you almost anything, and you'll be like, of course, I want to sign with the UFC. But what was the standard back then?
It's not all that, you know. You could think, it's great. It wasn't, I'll be honest, it wasn't like that, you know what I mean? I looked at it was more of like this kind of money. I've never had it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can work, but it's more of like I get it all at once now. Like I can get like 20,000 and know what to do with it. But before it's like I have to work and save up. Now I'm seeing it there. So I'm calculating if, okay, I'm on 10-10, that's 20. If I fight three times, I win all my fights, I'll get 60. Do you know what I mean? That's how I used to calculate. And I'm thinking, okay, this one I can use and send some to my mom, do this, do that. So it was just like, I'm winning fights because I'm like, okay, if I get this, I can help this. I can get it. It was just like more like that. Do you know what I mean? But I didn't look at the contract to just think, oh, it's not enough for this. No, it was just like, now I can get all this money at once and I can do things that I want to do.
Yeah, because it seems like a lot of young fighters now, they don't have that like economy brain that you have kind of thing. Was it someone that kind of showed you the way of how to do that, or was it just something you had in yourself?
No, I feel like if you came where I came from, it's always stored in you. It's because my mom is still in Africa, you know, so I gotta take care of her. So it's just a natural thing. I know what I gotta do because, like I said, I came to the country when I was 12, and 4 years later, my uncle kicked me out of the house. I was 16. So I had to really fend for myself. I had to buy my own clothes, you know, where to live. I live in a shared accommodation. So I had to knew, like I said, I used to get like, you know, they call it EMA. I don't know what EMA is. So if you went to college full time, we'd get £30 a week also.
Okay.
Yeah. So I used to use, I used to go to like a pound store. I'd buy like stuff for a week, but each one of them is like a pound.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the rest I'd pay, like I'd use £10 to buy like my food and £20 to do my driving lessons.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
oh.
So I knew I had to work my money like that. So when I started getting bigger amounts, I also knew I had to work with it.
Mm. It's a great thing to learn, I think.
Yeah.
And that mindset has stuck with you.
Yeah, it was always stuck with me, to this day, yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious, have you always fought at 55, 70 kilos, or did you grow and like...
I fought at 77.
77? Oh.
Yeah, no, I actually mix between 77 and 55, but 55, I think I've just grown into it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've just grown into it.
Because I remember seeing you, I think I saw you at your UFC debut the first time, and I was like, man, this dude is jacked.
Yeah.
Like, but that's, obviously you've been training, but like at 23 and like growing into, but like you're still at 55.
Yeah.
And right now it looks like it, I mean, is 55 ever an issue for you?
No.
Weight? No?
No, I'm pretty good. I make it pretty easy. I don't get like a water or anything, like a hot bath. I just run a treadmill and make 55.
Okay.
Yeah. But I probably look jacked. Like I said, I worked on railway, you see. It's heavy, heavy, heavy job. Yeah. Every day you're lifting. So I think that's probably why.
I've seen you lifting guys that are supposed to be your same weight. Just over his head like it's nothing. Yeah. Kind of thing. I think the commentator said that you made it look like his legs were made of polystyrene.
Now you get, I feel like, you know, because I do, with my strength conditioning coach, we do a lot of Olympic lifting.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I like to stop that because you get addicted to numbers. Mm-hmm. Like,
you want to be.
So I kind of like calm down on that a little bit. But I can lift.
Yeah, but there's been kind of a shift, I think, in size of fighters. It's like your average, let's say 10 years ago, like your average lightweight would maybe weigh, you know, 75 kilos walking around, like 77 kilos walking around. But now, like, fast forward to now, like, your average lightweight is, like, you know, 80, 82, you know? Just, like, like cutting weight has become, like, such a... I mean, it's always been a science, but now it's, like, really, really...
Yeah, like me, sometimes I get to about 85. I get to about 85. But I feel like through my career, like I used to pay like 3,000 to one of the guys that you worked with, Tyson Fury. I used to pay him 3,000 a camp. And what it taught me is like experience now. I just know myself what to do with my weight. I know where I need to be so I can make my 55.
Mm.
Like it's just about knowing your body yourself. Like you do it so many times, you know, like, okay, this is how I feel at best.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to do.
I think it's interesting, you know, because I've had a couple of amateur fights and you weigh in the same day and it's just like don't even cut weight.
Yeah,
man.
Don't cut weight. No,
like
no, it's not good.
I cut 10 pounds, like 5 kilos. I was like, what am I doing? Like, why am I cutting?
Yeah.
Nobody's paying me. I'm paying to fight. Nah, I'm paying you to fight.
Yeah. Now I've had experiences one time, I think amateur as well. Like that's why I was like, okay, I gotta make sure I cut weight properly. It was only first round, 3 minutes, but I gassed. I guess big time because the weight cut was like, okay, I did something very wrong here.
Yeah.
So, and another thing I did, you know, like when you cut weight, you weren't supposed to eat like hard food straight away. I went there. I went to this place called Ben Brazil. It's like every like 2 minutes, we bring in different type of meat. And I'm there, I'm like, I've made weight, so I'm stuffing the meat. Eating everything. And then before the fight, I literally started crying. My belly, like my body could not function.
Oh.
I was in pain.
Oh.
Yeah, I was in pain. So it's experience. Yeah.
Oh man. So but let's go through the UFC journey, because we talked about the debut. Was that, sorry for not being well read enough, was that the Pakalan fight?
No, his third fight was the Pakalan fight.
Okay.
Yeah. But you had those were the three TKOs and KOs in your first three fights, is that correct?
Which one?
In the UFC.
Yeah.
So you just started off with KO.
Ooh, I can't remember. You know best.
Yeah, I think it's I think it's KO, TKO, KO.
Yeah.
But
Why he's here. That's why we're paying the big bucks.
The first time I saw you fight live was in UFC London. I think the headline was Manoa versus Corey Anderson, where you fought Teemu Pakalan.
Yeah.
And it was the first time in a UFC crowd that I thought, oh my God, I've literally seen a guy just get murdered. I had never seen a knockout like that before. It was a very quick one. After, you know, anyone could probably YouTube it or find it on UFC Fight Pass, watch that fight. And then what I've seen with you as well is that you seem extremely happy when you're inside the cage, extremely playful and, you know, sticking your tongue out and things like that. So just kind of tell us a bit about the emotions of being in that cage.
Like I said, I had a lot of street fights. So to me, fighting came natural. I felt like, you know, I can fight. But then, you know, like when you get to you, like I'm bummer, nobody really cares. I could do all that, laugh. Mm-hmm. People enjoy that, you know what I mean? And that's what UFC want. But then when you get to UFC, people didn't know how you came from or how you got to there. They started to judge you with things.
Yeah.
And that gets really like difficult with things. Certain things you can't do, you can't, oh, he's cocky, he's this and that, you know what I mean? So that starts playing to your mind a little bit. And I actually really like work on my mental side now to think, okay, I do it for me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I stopped doing all that, if you notice. I stopped doing it for a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I just enjoy fighting. I feel like when I'm in there, you don't have to think about anything else. Nothing from outside, but just fighting and just you and your opponent. And I like to make crowds screaming. If I do something crazy, they're like, oh, you see that? Mm-hmm. To me, it's exciting. That's what I'm meant to do. And that's why I was out there performing. And now it's just like, I had to take a few losses, get experience, and now I'm like, okay, now I feel to myself again. Like, I want to go out there and just be me and play. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, to break through those losses as well, especially on this platform as big as the UFC, it is a kind of thing of, you know, you'll hear the thing about, you know, you either win or you learn.
Yeah.
But it's true that you do go back, you do reassess everything, you do look at everything and kind of see what this journey is bringing to you. So like I've seen in your previous fights that you are like kind of joking around a little bit less and taking it more serious, but I definitely see that you do have a goal that you're working towards as well.
Now it's different. Now I'm like, I feel like, okay, now it's getting me against the world, isn't it? Because before I did it for fun, but now these guys don't even know where I come from, but now they're judging me because they think I'm this and that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So now I've took a step back. I'm like, actually, I don't know if you believe in God, but I say thank you God for like put me in the position I was in, because I'm like, if I went too far, I probably would have got lost. You know what I mean? Going like, you go to Vegas, people offering you Ferraris, offering things I've never had. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we know the feeling. Yeah.
Now you get lost a little bit. So I was like, now I come back, I've reassessed everything. I know who I am. I know what I do it for. Like, you know, my family is about, you know, I went to Africa like last year and I know how my family is living. So I'm like, this is what I did it for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm ready to really like, because that's what life is about. You know what I mean? You can't do it for yourself. I'm trying to provide for my family. So it's like, whatever people judge me from the outside, they're just the support, or they pay their money to watch me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is my platform, but I'm trying to build behind that. So I'm grateful to have the platform, but I'm building for my family. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it sounds great.
Did you see, I saw like they made something with Usman just for the fight coming up. And how he, you know, he got into the UFC at 28. I think you're 28 now.
28, yeah.
You know, so he got in at 28. Right now, he's the pound for pound number one. He's the champ.
Yeah.
And he just bought a house for his
mom.
I saw that. And I was like, man.
That's good.
You know? Yeah. And I'm like, man. Yeah. So, like, for you, like, to be even be signed at 23 is crazy. But, like, you're 28 now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, there's so much time left.
Time, yeah.
Oh,
and that's why I'm
God.
Grateful. That's why I'm so grateful. I'm like, wow, now I really understand. Like, you get to that age where you like you start to mature. Like, you know, I never thought a day would come where I'd say I got my own house. You know what I mean? Mm. Where I've got that now, I'm like, you know, I'm working towards my helping my family, doing certain things. I'm like, this is what life about. You know what I mean? So it's a goal now. I'm seeing behind is like I'm building my journey. It's not just about fighting. So it's a great thing. I'm thinking I've still got time. I'm 28 now. I can really build. You know what I mean?
Mm.
It's like I've learned through the job. You know, like some people get take losses outside the UFC. When they come to UFC, be doing good. No one counts them losses. But
yeah.
I went in early. I've learned through the job. Took. I never lost a fight outside the UFC. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now I lost a few fights, and I understand what I'm in there for. It's just like it's a journey now. I'm enjoying it more than just going, oh, I'm gonna fight and impress these people. No.
Speaking of your journey as well, there's another interesting fact I saw about you, that in 2014 you are the first UFC fighter to pose for a Gay Times, if that is correct. The Gay Times contacted you. Tell us about that experience, and obviously inspirational for a lot of people as well.
The reason I did that, I'd say now, is more of like, you know, like I say, for example, people judge you. Mm-hmm. Like, I always said to, like, it was an interview where I said, like, you can be gay, you can be whatever. Like, as long as we're good, we're cool with each other, I'm cool with you. Like, you can be whatever. I don't see why you should go around judging other people, because you know what I mean? Because a lot of people that judge me don't know my journey, don't know why I'm coming from or how I got here. But they like to judge and tell, oh, is that. I'm like, you don't even know where I'm coming from. So that was my main thing around is like, you be what you want, I be what I want. Don't judge me, I won't judge you. But as long as we're cool, we're cool. That's always been my view on things.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like it was a great point, I mean, to make, especially, you know, I'm pretty sure there's no, like, openly gay male MMA fighters that I know of.
No idea.
You know, this movement that's coming through, especially with the women in the UFC, it's massive. So people will probably look back at that in, you know, 10, 20 years' time and be like, wow, that was the first guy that kind of spoke up and was like, you could just be who you want to be.
Yeah, and I got a lot of backfire from that. You as did? Well. Yeah, I did, yeah. But like, what you mean? I'm like, yo, my point on it, literally, that's why my point was like, yo, do what you want, I do what I want. Don't judge me, because what's the good, if you're gay, then what's it got to do with me?
Yeah,
what's,
exactly.
You know what I mean? That's you and me. That's the difference, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. You remember the press conference with those old school MMA fighters with Ken Shamrock, and he called him gay, and he said, like, hey, you better wish I'm not gay, because there's nothing you can do about it. We're supposed to fight. It was like, if I'm gay, what are you going to do about it? You better wish I'm not gay.
Yeah.
Just, that was, as we say, klockrent in Swedish, klockrent.
So talk to us a bit about your last fight, which was in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
No crowd. It was a performance of the night, but it was didn't go your way on that night. Would you say that you're a kind of person that does prefer to fight around the crowd and things like that? I mean, a lot of fighters have said they bring a bit more energy for them.
It does definitely bring more energy, but like I've had fights in the street, so it's like it felt like that. Like you just show up, it's your guy, my guy, let's fight. Mm-hmm. It felt like that, but then I had too many pullouts through COVID, so I felt like, okay, I'm going to take a fight. I just need a fight. But imagine where I was training, like in UK, I had no sparring partners. I had my coach that was working at the time, and I had a BKB boxer, and that was it. I had no sparring partner, no guy kicking or nothing.
Wow.
So I just did what I could because I needed a fight. When you're training, if somebody, some guy outside saw you guys, you grass you up, you know what I mean? Call the police or something over training. So I just did what I could to fight, but you know, it is what it is. But
we're training outside my house, aren't we?
we did. I agree.
In a car park.
Literally. So I forgot about that.
That's what your old opponent Dan Hooker had to do as well before this fight, but before the Nasrat Haqparast fight.
Yeah,
he was training in his garage, and like one time he was hitting pads with his coach at the gym, and somebody took a photo called the police.
Yeah,
that's what was happening all the time.
No, don't get me started. I'm gonna go on a rant. I'm gonna go on a 30-minute rant.
Yeah, it's crazy. People really be doing that, you know, like calling police on somebody trying to train. You know what I mean?
Oh man.
So it made things very, very difficult, but like, watching that performance, how I did, I'm like, you know, I have no regrets.
Mm.
I took what I could at the time. You know what I mean? I'd pull out that the guy came forward. You know what? I actually looked at him after the fight. Is that over 280 fights, like Thai?
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell? Why did I look at this guy like, he's like, you know what I mean? But yeah, I took the fight. It happened. Like, that's the only fight I probably like didn't really regret, because I'm like, I know how I performed. Now he's getting me confident. I know how I should fight. You know what I mean? I didn't have a proper camp, but now I'm having proper camp. I know going forward, I know how to perform.
Yeah, I mean, all of that stacked behind you kind of thing, and going against a guy that he's from Kyrgyzstan, the same place as the Shevchenko sisters. Mm. To then move to Thailand to become a Thai coach in Thailand.
In Thailand, yeah.
He is a massive deal in Thailand. Like a Muay Thai specialist kind of thing. So that everything was stacked against you in that fight, but you still performed so well and got the performance bonus as well that you got for that fight. I mean, that just says about how much, you know, a well-prepared Mark DeCasey is a killer.
Yeah, 100%. And that's what I'm saying. And now I feel like, okay, now I'm prepared. You know what I mean? Yeah. Not just because of fight, but everything out here. It's just about learning, you know. Like, sometimes I feel like through my career, it's slow learning. Sometimes you do things and you think, I shouldn't have done that. And you realize, like, okay, I learn. Okay, this is what I should do next time. But it's about learning this career. It's not easy, but you learn through mistakes.
So your next fight's in Las Vegas.
Yeah, Las Vegas, yeah.
Rafael Alves.
Alves, yeah.
So you've been to the Vegas before and fought that?
I fought there 3 times, I believe. Yeah.
What is there, like the Las Vegas feeling on there, or like?
It's great. It's great problem for the coaches, but for me, I literally focus on the fight. I'm just there to do one job, and that's to get the win. Once that's done, you might celebrate after that, but it's literally, you don't see anything. Like, people say, oh, you go over the world. Yeah. But I'm like, I don't really see it much.
Cause you don't see it.
Yeah, I've got a fight. Every day I'm waking up, sleeping, thinking about one person. And at the same time, like, I'm going to go Vegas, I'm hungry. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm not eating enough.
I was going to ask you, what's the best place that you fought in? But I guess it's all the same.
Yeah.
Like, when you're in there, it's just a cage.
Yeah, it's all the same, just a cage, yeah. Yeah. You're right, just a cage, isn't it? Yeah.
But I hope that goes well. I mean, it sounds like you're super prepared both mentally and physically. So it sounds like it's going to be a great fight.
Thank you.
Do you have a prediction for the fight?
Literally, I'm going for the finish. Yeah, I don't know what round, but I know my preparation, the way it's been, I want to finish him. Mm. Yeah.
So once all this COVID thing kind of swipes away and everything.
Will it?
I hope so. I hope so.
In your dreams.
So,
Babylon. Yeah. The government. Babylon. I heard a bit of rumblings about you opening your own performance center. Is that correct?
Yeah. I've actually managed to join my team, my management team, with my coach. Like, my coach, my manager. This guy has been there for me. You know what I mean? Like, especially when I was getting at the top, like going to Vegas, flying over. Like I said, my phone was dying. I had everybody, like, managers calling me, oh, he's not good for you, should have this, you know what I mean? But trying to get me to, like, go against him, you know what I mean? But this guy, when I took my 3 losses, he was always there for me, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I was going through it, like, when I took them 3 losses, I was going probably one of the worst times, like, my depression, you know what I mean? I was, like, for 9 months, I had to live over his house. Like, he's the guy, so I'm like, that's my guy, you know what I mean? He stuck by me, so I felt it'd be just good to have something together. You know what I mean? It's like, even now, I'm contract to win, but I don't mean, like, you know, before you count how many fights I got left with this guy. You know what I mean? But it's not like that. I see him as a family, you know what I mean? Mm. He's got my back.
That sounds great. So it's going to be called HD Performance Center, is that correct?
Yeah, Magic Case HD Performance Center.
So that's coming, you're looking like 22 or?
Nah, it's getting ready now, so we're speaking. Like, I was hoping, like, end of this November, it should be open already.
Everyone check it out.
Yeah, it should be really good. Really good. Like, my goal is to have things that I didn't have, because, like, especially in Doncaster, there's not much going on, especially to do MMA. There might be a lot of small grappling gyms, but the people that are teaching in there, they're not at the high level. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to slag anybody off, but that I just feel there's not a high level where you could actually build a fighter to go and fight in a big stage. Yeah. So my goal is to have, like, domes and stuff and have food preps inside to have you ready for the fight. Yeah, to prepare,
especially someone like you that has traveled the world for looking for the best kind of training. What would you say is the worst part of that kind of thing? Would you say that it's, you know, prepping for a fight, weight cut and everything, or is it more like being away from the family and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it's just all depends on what kind of person you are. It all plays a part. Like, I was my, like, when I had, obviously, my ex-girlfriend was together for 9 years, but it wasn't easy because, you know, like, no, 8 years. Leaving her, you know, like, sometimes she's complaining, you're there, living your dream, but she doesn't really know how it's out here. Like, I'm here struggling, like, you know what I mean? It's not easy as you think because I'm training, it looks nice, whatever, but you're there in the gym every day, you know, putting the work, so it's not easy. And that all plays a part, so it's not easy. It depends what kind of person you are.
Yeah. And like you said, you're a provider, so you always have the family in mind, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that HQ can be in cahoots with the schools, maybe. Mm-hmm. You can get
HQ.
Like... Yeah. Huh? Yeah, yeah.
Your performance center.
Yeah, the performance. Yeah, headquarters.
No, yeah, I think definitely. I've been thinking that's something I'm probably been talking to him. I'm going to get my manager to speak to him. He said, I think I probably want something like a boxing school there. So you probably make sense. But we're talking, you know what I mean? It's too early, but we're working on it.
But that's also something to do when the career is over, when you call it a career, like to have built something, like a foundation to give back.
Yeah, 100%.
Later.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
10 years down the line.
Yeah.
That's what you want to do, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to pass on the knowledge, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to pass on the knowledge, like, that's cool, but... That's more of like, you know, passing the knowledge because I live in Europe, but I feel like my goal, because I went to Africa, I really want to go out there, man, because there's so much opportunity, like, for kids that don't have nothing. I just want to build, like, a school or something and just give back, you know what I mean? And that's to me, that's a give back where you teach them something and they can go do what they want with it, you know what I mean? It's got nothing, as long as I just give them that opportunity, because there's a lot of kids there that really, like, I'm like, I had a dream, like, here to be a fighter. People there don't dream, but just dream about, you know, eating next day because they don't have much.
Yeah.
But if you can do something like that where I can give somebody a dream to dream, you know what I mean? That's me playing my part.
Yeah. That's like take care of those bare necessities so you can have the opportunity to even dream.
Yeah, to dream, yeah.
That's beautiful, man.
Yeah.
And that's I really hope that you can get something like that going. I think I know there's a couple of Africans in the UFC who are, you know, trying to put it on the map, trying to get UFC Africa. Like, start building the sport there. And also, when the sport builds, you can start building dreams, schools, performance centers.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's huge potential. There's a lot.
Imagine how many Francis Ngannous are in Africa.
Exactly.
A lot of them. But we just don't have the opportunity to show it. So I'm like, if I can do something like that, you know what I mean? That's me being happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And let's put something in Ethiopia as well for the...
100%. for sure. Yes. Definitely.
Don't forget about East Africa. Okay, we're not that big, but we can jog for a long time.
I've heard
got stamina.
US is building an institute in Africa. Actually, I've heard that's what I've been hearing. Yeah, we're building an institute, and I'm playing a part. This show's called Scuffle Search. Scuffle Search.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening in South Africa. They actually invited me to go there in February. I'm gonna go over because one of the guys I put through from Congo, I told him to look at him. Eliezer is fighting this weekend, but it's like they give them opportunity to fight. If they get, it's like a contender series.
Okay.
If you get a show, you win it and you go to, you know, Brave.
Yep.
Brave, they fight on Brave FC. So, so it's pretty good opportunity for them. And I'm gonna go just to, you know, to look at how it is. And I think that's gonna be one of the best opportunity for them out there for now. And then if I can build a gym and make more fighters like that, I'm happy.
Mm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the time where we get like fighters straight from Africa into the UFC. I mean, if you look at the fighters that are representing Africa in the UFC, they are ones that have moved to other places to be able to get opportunities and things like that. So it'd be great to have these homegrown African fighters.
I always think with what I know, my knowledge, like, I'd be stupid not to do that. Do you know what I mean? It's wasting talent because I'd feel so powerful out there just to give and you go and do what you got to do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the power. Yeah.
So I think Rafael Alves has been listening to this whole show to hear what you're going to say about him. So
has it?
Probably. So if you have a message to your opponent, what would you say to him right now?
I just hope he trains well and, you know, it comes to the fight week safely. Well, that's all I pray for every day. Just no injuries. Make sure I can go to the fight week safely.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Let's put the show.
Yeah, just show up.
Yeah, let's show up. Yeah, that's what I'm asking for. Turn up, let's do the job. That's it.
That's what you've been asking everyone
to
do, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if anybody doesn't recognize Mark DeCasey, he's the guy with the red mohawk. He'll be fighting in 2 weeks' time in Las Vegas. super looking forward to the fight, man.
Thank you.
And looking forward to the journey, the rest of the journey as well.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you so much for coming, guys.
Yes, thank you very much, guys.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, so, one more thing.
So we have this thing because the podcast is called Chef Smells Podden. Chef Smell is Chef Smell.
Chef Smell.
Yeah.
So that's smell.
Chef Smell is a punch to the face. Yeah. So you can get like the punch of the week.
Yeah.
Veckans Chef Smell. To anyone or anything that you're.
That you're not liking at the moment. Someone that you feel like needs a smack in the face. So both of you have an opportunity.
Mark shit smell.
It's like
Yeah, both of you get an opportunity to give someone a punch in the face. Who would it be?
Veckans chef smell.
Boris Johnson.
Boris Johnson. Who would you say?
People that owe me money. I can't.
Is that a lot of punches? Or?
A lot of punches, yeah. I don't pay it back.
All right. Thanks, guys. Yeah. Thank you very much, man.
Thank you.
To absolutely nobody.
It's my TKO.